Next, for the scripture reading this morning, we'll turn to the second book of Samuel and read chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Emiel, in Lodibar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Emiel, from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant, that thou shouldst look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in thy fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall his servant do. As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Here ends the reading of God's Word.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you out of the chapter we read together. And especially, we take the sermon out of the verses 6 and 7 of 2 Samuel 9. To Samuel 9, the verses 6 and 7. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." We write above the sermon of this morning, Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. We see in the first place who he was. Who was Mephibosheth? And do we recognize ourselves in him? For we are together in an hour of preparation to prove ourselves. Is Christ living in us or not? Mephibosheth, who he was, who am I before God? In the second place, what he did. And I hope we all shall do the same this morning, as Mephibosheth did. For he fell on his face and did reverence. And he heard the voice of the king. And let it be our desire to hear his voice, the voice of Jesus, the King of glory and grace, to hear his voice this morning by the Holy Spirit in our heart. My sheep know my voice. One word, Mephibosheth, so tender, so full of love. It made him so warm, so assured of the love of the King for him. We love him because he first loved us. And that's the desire of a living child of God, to feel his love, to hear his voice, to be in close communion with Christ. And therefore he gave his word not only, but also his holy sacrament, to be united with him. He in us and we in him. One body. He our head, we his members. And in the third place we see what he received. And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." What an abundance of love, unexpected, undeserved, yet received, for Jonathan's sake, for Jesus' sake. There is hope, there is an abundance of grace, there is a fullness of love and righteousness for the chief of sinners in our midst. For Jesus' sake. My dear children, I say it another time for you. Mephibosheth. Who he was, what he did, and what he received. Dear congregation, how is it now in your heart? What are the deepest feelings of your heart now? Are you a little like David? Are you united with him? By the same love, by the same grace. For when we look in the heart of David, we see a wonderful love. And you know I hope you know it by experience. That's the first and the last. When the Holy Spirit is poured out in your heart, the love of Christ is living and dwelling in you. And where that love is not, there is nothing. Maybe strictness, religion, fanatism, but no true faith. True faith is working by love. And at the beginning of this chapter, David has a question. And in that question, he reveals and opens his heart also for us this morning, so that we shall prove ourselves, do we have the same heart? For we can know that there is a sweet and wonderful unity between the people of God of all ages, of all places. There can be much difference, of course, but the unity is much more important. The same love, the same grace, the same sorrow, the same hate against sin, the same desire, the same Spirit unites the hearts of all the people of God to one body in Christ. And that's for us the matter, that we really belong to that body. For all the members of Christ are invited next week to come at the table of the children. The children of God, united by true faith with Christ. One family, one desire. What a sweet unity in Christ has the church, the living church of the living God. A nice question in which he opens his heart. Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? That's a wonderful question. Not a normal question. For Saul was a bitter enemy of David. You know, my dear children, Saul had only one goal: to kill and to root out David and all his house. And you all know that David was the forefather of Christ. So Saul was fighting against Christ. And you? Are you fighting against Christ too? Oh no, you say, I'm not an enemy of Christ. I don't want to kill Christ. Then you don't know yourself. We are not better than Saul. Our fall is terrible and deep. Every sin, my dear children, every sin, with every sin, you and I cry, crucify him. Crucify him. That's our nature. So we are, as fallen creatures, as fallen sinners. Did you ever feel how endless, terrible is your sin? And David, he is a type of Christ. Christ loved his enemies. Christ died for us when we were still enemies. And when we know ourselves really in the light of the holy law of God, in the light of the cross of Christ, we cannot understand that wonder, then it becomes a sweet and wonderful reality. Christ died for me, an enemy. The heart of David is full of love for the descendants of his enemies. That's wonderful. Love your enemies. That's impossible for our nature. Quite impossible. But by Christ, and Christ is living in us, dwelling in us, ruling in us, then we do love your enemies. For it was quite normal in the days when a dynasty of kings followed up another one, that the preceding dynasty was rooted out, so that there could not come rebellion against the new king. Saul and all his descendants had to be killed. That was the normal way, the normal thought. But David was quite the opposite. Yes, that's grace. That's love. That's quite the opposite of the natural man. Quite the opposite of the world. That's Christ in David. In you too. In me. We have to prove ourselves if he really became a new creature in Christ. And the love of Christ is dwelling in us, going out of us, becomes visible in our life, in the fruits of love. Love for our enemies. So we see here David as a type of Christ. And we see him also as a Christian, a man in whose heart Christ is dwelling and ruling. And that must be our prayer and desire, that Christ becomes visible in our life too. That he may be a real Christian. Well, in the first place, we see then who was Mephibosheth. My dear children, his name means, try to remember it, he had not a nice name. Mephibosheth means he who spreads shame. He who spreads shame. That's not a nice name. Nobody of us wants to have such a name, isn't it? Yet he had his name. Most of the interpreters think that it was not his original name. You cannot imagine that a father or a mother gives his child such a name. Ooh, he spreads shame. That's what he heard when he heard calling his name. You are the man who spread shame. And most people think that Mephibosheth received his name from his enemies because he was a descendant of the dynasty of Saul, the cursed dynasty, the dynasty which ought not to live, had to be killed, rooted out, the dynasty who spread shame. Yet he kept his name. So his name is written in the Bible. Mephibosheth, he who spread shame. Is that your name too? How is your name? You know that's written in the Bible that the Lord to his people says, I shall give you a new name. He who spreads shame. So we are by nature. When we don't spread the love of Christ, when we spread sin around us, when the name of the Lord is blasphemed, He calls us. That's the desire of the true church, that shall not happen. But by nature, our name is very similar to the name of Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth, he was aware of it. He felt it, who he was. When he met David later on, we hear him saying, "What is thy servant that thou should look upon such a dead dog as I am? He who spreads shame." That's what he saw in himself, that's what he felt, that's what he confessed. A dead dog. He was in the eyes of the king, not worthy the least of his mercies. That's very important in our experience too, isn't it? Not only to confess that with our lips, but to have really a broken heart. To feel really in our heart, I'm a dead dog. I'm not worthy a place at that holy table, the table of the King. My place cannot be there. And yet, when the Lord brings you there, when His love is drawing you, then you must be amazed. Then you can only admire Him. The King, then we are in the midst of our form for the Lord's Supper. Everyone consider by himself his sins and curse. Consider by himself. Everyone consider this, that whereas you otherwise should have suffered eternal death. Did you ever see that, my dear friend? That you deserve eternal death? That you are a dead dog in the eyes of the holy God? Did you ever feel that? Mephibosheth, he was aware of it. Therefore, he couldn't understand that a king was so good for such a man who deserved death, eternal wonder, when that feelings fill your heart too, then Christ become glorified. All honor to Him only. All glory to the King. And that's the desire of every true child of God. What happened? My children with Mephibosheth. He got an accident when he was 5 years old. Serious accident. That can happen, isn't it, my dear children? The children has an accident. That's a warning. That's a serious warning for our children. When they have an accident, a warning. Also you, my child, can die. Are you saved? Are you ready to meet God? No, you cannot come to the Lord's Supper yet. But yet the Lord put a question to each of us. Is Christ already living in you? We can have an accident. can be eternity at once. Mephibosheth, he was 5 years old. And then that happened, the great battle on Gilboa. There fell they, Saul, his grandfather, Jonathan, his father, with thousands other young men. Their life was cut off in one moment. That can happen. Eternal lost. Eternal lost. When we are living now outside Christ, how do we need a Savior, each of us here? I hope you feel it. You cannot live further without Christ. That is crying in your soul, give me Jesus or I die. Thousands of young people cut off. Saul too. Jonathan, his father too. And then everything changed in the life of Mephibosheth. First he was a prince. Surrounded of care and honor. Now he was a man, a child of death. Now he had to flee. Now he was in fear and danger. Things can happen at once in our life. The things of this world, isn't it? And therefore we need a better life. We need eternal life. And when the nurse of Mephibosheth took him, she let him fall. There he lay on the ground. And she took him up and fled away. But he was seriously wounded. He couldn't walk. He was lame his whole life. That's terrible, isn't it, children? You can walk. You can jump. You can play. How many children cannot? Are handicapped. Are lame. Mephibosheth, he was lame at both his feet. He couldn't walk. He always needed someone to carry him, to help him. And he fled, he grew up to an adult man, far outside Israel, in a hidden place, Lodebar. Always in fear. Should the soldiers of David come to kill me? For he didn't know what David knew. Do you know it? Do you know it already? What? The covenant. There was a covenant. A covenant of love. A covenant of grace between David and between Jonathan. They were, you know, very, very close and tender friends. They were brothers in Christ. And there can be difference. Sometimes the Lord gave his people friends with whom they are united in a special way. There was such a tender love and tie between David and Jonathan. And when they saw each other for the last time, they are now united in heaven for all eternity. But in their life, there came a time that they couldn't meet each other. They made a covenant. In 1 Samuel 20, Jonathan says to David, "For as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord be between me and thee, between my seed and thy seed forever.' The Lord be between." United in the Lord. And they made a covenant that also their seed should be united in the Lord And in 1 Samuel 24, we read, "Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house." That David sware to Saul. There was a covenant. There is also another covenant, my friends, a better covenant from all eternity. And we are reminded to that covenant, the covenant of grace, the covenant of peace between the Father and the Son in the communion of the Holy Spirit, where the Father gave to His Son His bride, where the Son accepted that bride, that black bride, a bride by nature enemies, and He offered Himself to save them, to renew them, to make them new creatures in Christ, to forgive them, to give them everything they needed for time and eternity, to glorify God. Oh, did you ever see that covenant? That wonderful eternal covenant? Oh, that's a wonderful covenant from all eternity. What was happened with Mephibosheth? Well, the servants of David came. Maybe he was not glad when they came. When you don't know of that covenant, when you don't know your life of grace, well, then you are not happy when you hear the things of the Lord, isn't it? What place have the covenant of grace in your heart? My dear children, my young people, must you say, "I never think about it"? There is an eternal covenant, the covenant of peace. And out of that wonderful covenant, Christ came to give Himself for enemies, for sinners, for unworthy creatures, to fill them with the love of God, to cover them with His righteousness. And now came the servants to Mephibosheth, the servants of the King David. And they tell him about David. They take away his fear, of course, already. "We come in the name of the King to fetch you here up, to make you happy. For the King is willing to give you everything you need. I am a servant by grace, my friends, of a better King than David. King Jesus. And I may preach you His wonderful love, His fullness, His glory, His righteousness. I proclaim you that everything you need is to be found for you in Christ. And it is offered to you in the gospel this very morning. There is forgiveness for your sin. There is peace for your soul. There is eternal life in Christ for you. Are you willing to receive it? Are you hungry? What are you doing with this wonderful message, with this wonderful King, the servants of King David come to Mephibosheth and proclaim him the love of King David for such a wretched man as he is? And now the servants of Christ are proclaiming the love of Christ for the chief of sinners. Oh, wonderful grace and love. And what happens? Mephibosheth, we read, he was come unto David. And then we see in the second place what he did. What did Mephibosheth when he came to David? He fell on his face and did reverence. He fell on his face. He came with his face on the floor. There he lays. Do you see him? And do you know what it means? Why fell Mephibosheth with his face on the floor. Well, he acknowledged, in doing this, I deserve death. I am the man who spread shame. I am not worthy to be in thy presence. I am not worthy, the least of thy mercies. Do you recognize that feeling in your heart? When you come to the king, there was such a contradiction between Mephibosheth, a lame, condemned person, a man who spread shame, and the king in his beauty, in his glory, on his throne. Did you ever feel the difference? When Christ is revealed to us, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as death. A revelation of Christ makes us always humble, nothing, unworthy, and yet he is. He has been brought. He couldn't come himself, but he was carried and brought in the presence of the king. And there was his heart. There was his love. His fear did not keep him back. That's not good. When you have fear, and you feel your unworthiness, and you feel your sinfulness, you must not keep back. You must not stay in your seat. You must come to the king, for he invites you. He calls you an unworthy sinner, a man, a woman who spreads shame, who must confess, I am only sin, I have only sin, I have nothing, O Lord, to bring to thee, than only my sin, my unworthiness. You're welcome. You're welcome at the feet of this wonderful King, King Jesus. He receives the sinners, and he eats with them. Are you not hungry? Are you not hungry for his meat, his bread? Are you not thirsty for his blood? Only eating this king gives salvation to your soul, gives peace in your heart. To whom shall you go otherwise? Oh, don't deny that wonderful king. For here, Mephibosheth, he comes to the king. There he fell on his face. And he admit, I am not worthy the least of thy mercies. And yet I come, O Lord, yet I am laying here, the best place in the nearness of the king. Is that also the desire and the feeling of your heart? Then you are welcome. Don't deny such a blessed king, King Jesus, who is willing to receive you, to save you, to fill you with his love, with his peace, for all he deserved at the cross for poor, empty sinners. And there's another meaning why he fell on his face. He surrenders himself. My dear young people, we in the catechism class we are speaking about the first question. What's your only comfort, both in life and death? That I belong to my blessed Savior. That I am not my own. That's the other side, of course. When Mephibosheth fall before the feet of the king on his face, he wants to say to, I belong to thee. I am not longer my own. You can do with me what you like. I'm yours. That's united with Him. When we through faith come to Christ, we surrender ourselves. We give ourselves over. Our life, our whole being. That Christ may be our life. He living in us, we living in Him. I live, but I do not live, for Christ is living in me. That's the desire of the new life, isn't it? Is that your desire too? So we can prove ourselves. Is the true faith in us? Are we lying on our face before that King, not worthy the least of His mercies, willing to surrender ourselves to Him, our whole life? O Lord Jesus, be my King. Rule in my life, in my thoughts, in my feelings, in my deeds, in everything. Let my whole life be for Thee. That's the fruit, isn't it? We see it's a very clear. And then David, the king, he speaks to Mephibosheth. Only one word. Only one word. Mephibosheth. And that one word makes him so happy. He hears the voice of his king. And in this voice, in this one word, he feels such a tender love. Wonderful love. One word, the Lord Jesus often says. Not a lot of words. Not a whole sermon. One word filled with the love of Christ. And the King is speaking in your heart. I am your salvation. I died for you. I never forget that I had by the grace of God a moment that word and love of Christ so filled my heart. Christ died for me. That I lost my way. Quite full of that wonderful word. Christ died for me. Mephibosheth. He mentions his name only. Full of comfort. Let that be the desire of our heart, friends. To hear the voice of our most beloved one. To hear the voice of Christ mentioning us, giving His love, His nearness in our heart, sitting at His table. I, my child, died for you. I took away all your sin. I take away all your fears. Come, sit there at my feet where you hear my voice, where you feel my love. I shall make you so endless happy. That gives the foretaste of eternal joy, eternal peace, when we hear the voice of our Master and our heart is filled with the love of God in Christ Jesus. Our Lord, Mephibosheth, a tender speaking out, a man who spreads shame, and yet I love you. Why? For Jonathan's sake. From out the covenant only. Yet I love you, sinner. Yet I love you. And then he calls our name. Yet I loved you. For Jesus' sake only. No, there is nothing in you. Nothing in you. Everything in you which spreads shame. Because you must be killed and lost forever. But for Jesus' sake, He died on the cross. He took the sin of the world. He broke the enmity. And that love coming in our soul breathes our heart when we hear the voice of our beloved one, Mephibosheth. Wonderful name. Wonderful name. He who spread shame for Jonathan's sake. Yet my beloved one. Yet my dear one. Wonderful, isn't it? May you may have that experience by the wonderful working of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And you hear the name, the voice of your master. And then Mephibosheth answered, "Behold, thy servant, I want to serve you. I want to love you too. I want to be in your presence. I want to do what you are willing. All his heart is open now for the king." Do you know that feeling, my friends? "Behold, thy servant. O Lord, let be my whole life a service to thee, in spirit, in truth, in love. The service of the Lord, I say to the inmates in the jail, is a service of love. And what you do out of love, that's light, that's wonderful, that's a delight. That's not heavy." And they admit it. I hope you too, my young people, that you feel in your own heart that the love of Christ is a service of love. That there is no better service in all the world than the service of our King Jesus. And that the desire is coming and growing in your life. "Behold, thy servant, my life is for thee." And then we see in the third place, what did he receive? He received what was the deepest wish of his heart. You always receive the deepest wish of your heart. The Lord knows our deepest wishes. And when your soul is crying for God, you shall find God. When your soul is crying for Christ, you shall find Christ. When your soul is crying for peace, you shall find peace. My soul thirsted for God, the living God. And the heart of Mephibosheth is opened for David. What did he receive? He received peace. Is that not the desire of your soul too? There can be so many fears. Am I really a child of God? Has the Lord really begun in my life? Don't I deceive myself? There is so much in me against me, by which I must think it cannot be. It cannot be true. And the devil is always attacking the children of God. You are not a child of God. That's not possible for such a wretched man or woman as you are. So many fears. But that fears are taken away. For the king is speaking. That's the first thing he receives. Admitted in the presence of the king. And then he hears his voice, Mephibosheth. Fear not, how often says the Lord that to his fearing people? Fear not, how often is the Lord's people trembling and fearing? And then is there the voice of their master? Fear not. There are also a lot of people who never fear. Also in the church. I once visited a young man in one of my congregations. And he was very close to death, a very, very dangerous surgery. And I asked him, Evert, are you afraid? Do you fear? He said, no, I'm not afraid at all. I don't fear. And then I asked him, Evert, are you saved? Oh no, he said, I'm not converted. I'm not saved at all. It makes me endless sad. Not saved. And no fear. That's death. That's spiritual death. That's terrible. You can better fear. For there comes a moment that the Lord can say to you, fear not! But to them who are going on their way to hell, we must say, fear! You are in a great danger. You can be in eternal lostness today. Fear! Beware in what situation you are living, unconverted sinner, who rejected Christ till now. You are in a great, great danger. You need conversion. Oh, that your eyes are opened, that your hearts are broken, that you fear and tremble. But to the fearing people of God, the Lord Jesus says, fear not. Fear not. I love you. I came for you. Everything I have, I did. It is for you. Fear not. Believe only. Fear not, believe only. I never forget that I had in one of my congregations a woman. And she feared a lot. Her whole life. And there came a moment that the Lord spoke in her heart. Fear not. Believe only, with such a power that she was quite happy for some days. And then the devil came and said to her, that cannot be true. You are not saved by a text or a verse. It's all imagination. And she came in darkness and fear. And then she asked the Lord, Lord, when it was from thee, when it was thy voice, may the minister preach about it. And the same Sunday, I didn't know anything about it, but I preached about this verse. Fear not, believe only. And so she was rejoiced in the Lord. Fear not, says David to Mephibosheth. Fear not, fearing people of the Lord. Believe only, trust that wonderful King. Come at his table, glorify and confess his name, and be in his presence. May your heart is with him, his love is in you. We love him because he first loved us. What did Mephibosheth receive? Well, I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake. I shall give you all the love of my heart. Everything I have, it's for you too. I shall show you kindness, not for your sake. Oh, we are always seeking something in ourselves, happy when we never find it. Only the man who spreads shame. For Jonathan's sake, it's only for Jesus' sake that the Lord loves you, that he shows his kindness to you. That he makes His love reality in you. It's only for Jesus' sake that he accepts you as his child. Therefore, all glory and honor to Jesus alone. And I will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. All what you lost, I will give it back to you. We lost a lot. We lost everything in paradise. We lost God. Did you ever see it, what you lost? For Jonathan's sake, for Jesus' sake, you receive back everything. I have everything, for I have seen God from face to face, and my soul has been saved. I have everything. Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as my God in Christ, everything. I need no more. I have enough for time and eternity. Everything you receive back in and by Christ for Jonathan's sake. For Jesus' sake, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. When the table is ready, I will bring you to my table. I will give you my bread. Next Sunday, when the Lord spares our life, his table is ready. Continually, you shall eat my bread at my table. There is your place. There is your bought place, bought by the precious price of the blood of Christ. There you ought to be, all the children of God in our midst, the little ones and the bigger ones. All his children at the table of the King. And there is the desire of the heart to be where he is, where he gives his bread. This is my body. This is my blood shaken for you. Take it. Become full of my love. Continually. Maybe you had it too. There can be moments when we sit at the Lord's table that it's difficult to stand up, that we want to stay there. In one of our congregations, there was a man sitting at the Lord's table, and he was filled with the love of Christ. And everybody stood up and went away. He was not aware of it. And one of the elders came and said, "It's ready, you have to go." And then he stood up, went to his place, and left the church full of Christ, foretaste of heavenly joy, continually. Here we have to stand up. Our moments, unforgettable moments, but the promise is continually, eternal joy, eternal nearness, eternal glory. Then we are sitting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the whole church of Christ united, full in number, full with Christ, full with God, glorified in him. Let us thank and pray together now. O Lord, we thank thy holy name for this thy wonderful message. For Jonathan's sake, the king full of love. For a man who spread shame, That's the wonder for all thy people. Oh, that it may grow more and more in our soul, the desire to glorify thee, to eat at thy table continually, every time when the table is ready, to be there where the King spreads his wonderful love and give his wonderful bread, his own body, give the wonderful wine, his own blood. The sweet reality by the Spirit in our soul. O Lord, prepare us. Be with us in this week of preparation. Take away from us all what can hinder, and give us a life close to thee, in thy presence, in thy glory. Pardon all our sins also from these servants. Bless also the labors among the young ones. O Lord, work with thy Spirit in our youth. We ask it all for Jesus' sake. Amen.